Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Again in Matthew 22, verse 41 and 42, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" And they say unto him, "The son of David." Now these two questions serve as the text of our study concerning the true identity of Jesus of Nazareth. Was Jesus who he claimed to be? And if so, what are the implications for us? What evidence is presented to us that we might believe it? It is very evident from the Scriptures that God expects us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, His only begotten Son, the Savior of man, the long-looked-for Messiah. But God does not expect us to believe with a blind faith, but has provided us evidence and testimony whereby we can know His true identity. Paul wrote, "In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established," 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 1. Jesus taught the necessity of having two or more witnesses in establishing the truth when settling disputes between brethren, Matthew 18 and verse 16. The old law taught, "One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established," Deuteronomy 19 and verse 13. Therefore, for testimony to be considered competent and reliable, there is to be the plurality of witnesses. Then testimony is certainly deserving of acceptance. Now the basic truth of the Bible is that Jesus is the Son of God. Everything about the New Testament Christianity depends upon this being the truth. Otherwise, there is no validity or authority or divinity connected with it. Jesus stated, following Peter's confession of him as the Son of God, "Upon this rock will I build my church," Matthew 16 and verse 18. Sometimes today we hear people say that they are witnessing for Christ. Well, friend, do you not believe that we should speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, rather than take biblical phrases but convey false ideas by them? A witness in the Bible was one who either was an eyewitness or one who was inspired of God and could testify reliably. Simply telling what others have testified is not witnessing for Christ, and nobody today qualifies as a witness for Christ, since nobody is an eyewitness of the things written, nor are they inspired of God as were the New Testament witnesses. We have heard denominational people claim to be as inspired as were the apostles, but their claim is simply not true. Today we can relate to what witnesses witnessed, but we are not witnesses. We should not use such terminology, as somebody think that we're claiming inspiration, and that would be a false claim. Now in John chapter 5, Jesus cited six witnesses of himself, six sources of evidence to show that he is the Son of God and the Savior of mankind. And it's our present intent to consider these six witnesses found in John 5. Now, Jesus had just healed a lame man at the pool of Bethesda. He had taught the unity and the oneness of himself and the Father, and how he came to do the will of the Father. He cited how authority belonged unto him, and that the judgment would be executed by him, and that there was no way for men to honor the Father without honoring the Son. This is a very exclusive claim of Christ. He taught the coming resurrection of both the good and the evil, and how eternal life was through him. All of this teaching was founded on the claim of his deity that he is the Son of God. Such teaching caused some to accuse him of blasphemy, of course. They were offended at him. They sought to slay him. But Jesus provided sufficient evidence to sustain his claim. And the first witness was his own testimony. He said, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And if I bear witness of myself, he said, my witness is not true. John 5:30-31. Now, we want to look at this last phrase. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There can be no doubt that Jesus claimed to have come from God. He had claimed his deity back in John 4:25-26, when he spoke to the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And later he said, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. John 8:24. It had been prophesied in Isaiah 55:4 that Jesus would bear witness. Behold, he said, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. But he said his witness was not true, and it was not because what he said was false, but because he was but one witness. And that testimony alone was not the plurality of witnesses that was needed. Nonetheless, his testimony cannot be set aside. For even though he is but one, he is one. And then he said, there is another that beareth witness of me. And I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. John 5:32-33. John the Baptist was sent by the Lord, and for this very purpose. Luke 1:76, and thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Again, as it is written in the prophets, behold, I send a messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make his paths straight. Mark 1:2-3. And in John 1, there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. When Jesus came to John, John said of him, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Jesus made it clear in his discussion with the Pharisees that John spoke and acted with authority. Matthew 21:25. And so the work and the words of John the Baptist must be received with the highest credibility and validity. He was the second witness Jesus mentioned in John 5. But there was even a greater witness than John that proved Jesus to be the Son of God. In John 5:36, but I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, and bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me. What Jesus had done, what he was doing, what he would show himself to be, who he claimed to be, all proved his claim. Nicodemus had recognized him as one from God because of the miracles which he did. John 3:2. Those with whom the apostles had contact considered him to be one of the prophets or someone of that nature because of his works and his words and his miracles and his sermons, the way he fulfilled the prophecies of old, the authority by which he taught. They all proclaimed the same message. This is the Christ, the Son of God. No servant of the devil could or would do the things that Jesus did, such as healing the sick and raising the dead, calming the elements, casting out demons, forgiving sins. And when John the Baptist was in prison, and he was soon to die, he sent some of his people to ask Jesus, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now notice the evidence that was given. In that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. And Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor the gospel is preached. All of this, you see, plus the climatic evidence of his resurrection, declared him to be the Son of God, Romans 1:4. Furthermore, the Father himself had borne witness of him, John 5 and verse 37, "And the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me," Jesus said. That is baptism in Matthew 3 and verse 17. And on the mount where he was transfigured, Matthew 17 and verse 5, the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." A different kind of testimony was given, as recorded in John 12 and verse 28, to glorify Christ. This testimony had been given in the presence of others, such as Peter and James and John and Moses and Elijah. Peter later wrote, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard, and when we were with him in the Holy Mount." 2 Peter chapter 1, 16 through 18. Well, already more than a sufficient number of witnesses has been produced, but there was additional testimony to be considered. Jesus cites the Scriptures as bearing record of him. In John 5 and verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." Jesus established early in his work the precedent of proving truth by the Scripture, because the Scripture is the truth. He blunted the temptations of Satan by answering each temptation with, "It is written." Then he quoted teaching from God, as is found in the book of Deuteronomy. Never has there been any question as to the respect Jesus had for the Scriptures. We would that all today had similar respect. There is no more reliable testimony than the verbally inspired, infallible, inerrant, authoritative, and all-sufficient Scriptures. To question the Scripture is to reflect a doubt of God. By the promises, the prophecies, the old law, the Judaistic system, all of which served as a shadow of things to come, Hebrews 10:1, one can almost piece in detail the work and the mission of Christ as he fulfilled God's plan for the salvation of mankind. Jesus said the Scriptures gave them eternal life. And why is that so? It is because the Scriptures tell us of Christ. There is no separation of Christ and salvation, or salvation from the Scriptures. The reason the gospel is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1:16, is because the gospel reveals Christ, who is the author of salvation, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And finally, closely connected with the first five witnesses, is the sixth one, which is cited, and that's Moses. Jesus said, "For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?" Friend, none of the ancient patriarchs were more respected by the Jews than Moses, the great deliverer and the great lawgiver, the guide, the prophet, the writer of inspired Scripture. Jesus taught that understanding the place of Moses in God's great theme of redemption would lead one to accept him because Moses testified of Christ. He wrote of him, he foretold of him, confirming him. It is grossly inconsistent to claim to believe Moses and reject Christ. So Jesus presented six irrefutable witnesses, any one of which can be accepted in full validity. And by then we can know for certainty that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He cited himself. He cited his works. He cited the Father. He cited John the Baptist. He cited the Scriptures. And particularly, he cited the writings of Moses. We look with disdain and rejection on any man, any book, any so-called scholar or perverted Bible, any modernistic clergyman, whoever and wherever, that in any way demeans, minimizes, or removes the God-given evidence of the deity of Christ. Because he is the Son of God, we have the obligation to know him, to believe in him, to obey him, to follow him, being subject unto him in everything. So we close these comments by asking, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Our answer will determine our destiny, but the answer of the Bible is conclusive. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.